And so what we're going to do in this talk and kind of in the seminar time is I want to set, it's going to be maybe frustratingly like less practical than you want. We're going to end with some practical things, but that's really what your small groups are for. But I kind of want to go conceptual and kind of big picture, a little bit of the foundation of like, how does a Christian worldview impact, how do we think about the Greek system? How do we think about ourselves and our roles and what we're expecting from the Greek system? So that's what we're going to get into, and y'all feel free to ask questions in the QR code throughout the whole time. I have this fancy pointer that I found in the room next to us, and so I will be using the laser from time to time. But anyway, okay, so the Greek system. First and foremost, we have to understand what we are getting into when we join a Greek house, sorority or fraternity. What we're getting into is an institution. And an institution, I have it up there, is a community that is united around a particular desire, cause, or purpose. Y'all probably found that out as you joined Greek systems, that y'all have things like creeds. Y'all have things like certain philanthropy causes that you really love. You unite around certain principles, certain desires, certain purposes. There is a reason that, you know, we think of a certain type of guy when we think about that house, or a certain type of girl when we think about that house. There are cultures that are part of these institutions, and these institutions are what unite us. And what I want to argue is that to be human is to be a part of institutions. And what I want to say to this is, like, it's not inherently bad to be a part of a Greek house. You can be a Christian and be a part of a Greek house, because to be human is to be a part of institutions just in general. It doesn't matter which ones you choose. It's inevitable that you're going to be involved in institutions. Just think about like country clubs, the gyms you work out at, athletic teams that you cheer for, academic departments. So there's nothing necessarily unique about a fraternity house, albeit it's just another institution, and we have to be aware of that. And to be human, like I said, is to want to be a part of a group that's bigger than you. That second slide, it says, to be human is to be created with a desire for belonging. We satisfy this desire for love, acceptance, and community by attaching ourselves to institutions. So whether we believe it or not, you see those little guys, whether we believe it or not, we are trying to make sense out of our world. We're trying to like answer the big questions of our life by going to different people, whether it's friendships, and then attaching these friendships to institutions, to things bigger than ourselves. We attach ourselves to institutions because we want to make sense of who we are. That's how we were actually designed, and it's actually a good thing. So Genesis 1, when we think about how God created us, he says he created us in the image of God. God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, three persons in one essence. He has been in a community for all of existence, for all of eternity. And when we are created in his image, what that means is he created us for community. We're not supposed to be alone. Genesis 2, it says it's not good for man to be alone. So to be a part of a Greek institution, to be a part of a sorority or a fraternity, is actually a really holy desire. It's a holy thing. You are just living out what you were created to be. You want to be in community. Let's go to the next slide. What do institutions ultimately do? So that first one that we looked at, that we've already kind of talked about, they create community. Look, Ole Miss is 16,000 undergrads, and that's way too many people to kind of find your place. You can't be friends with 16,000 people. It's impossible to do that. So we always have to kind of shrink our communities in order to be known, in order to be seen, in order to be loved, and find kind of like our way. And so we attach ourselves to Greek houses to kind of make sense of who we are. We attach ourselves to Greek houses so that we can find our place on this campus. So think about things like a particular house or pledge classes or your friend groups that form in these pledge classes. They satisfy this desire that we all have inherently just because we're human. They satisfy this desire for community. But there's the second part of this. It's just that... Did I even change the slide? Sorry. No, I didn't. So I'm trying to double up with notes right here and slide. Okay, there we go. So they create community. And then there's this other part that institutions do. So sometimes I think it's naive to think that we could just be ourselves, attach ourselves to community, and then attach ourselves to an institution. And this is kind of what I thought when I was going to college. Oh, like I'm a Christian. I'll find some friends, I'll attach myself to this Greek institution, and I can still be a Christian. Like, I'll still be myself, completely myself. What I failed to realize is that the power of the group, the power of the institution to actually shape and form who I was. That when I attached myself to a Greek house, I was attaching myself to a place that was actually going to kind of create my desires, create my passions, end up forming what I thought was good. For instance, how did I go from high school, where I didn't drink until I graduated high school, to the end of my freshman year, finding out that I drank, you know, multiple nights a week? My position on drinking didn't just change overnight. It wasn't like I had this conscious idea to like, oh, I don't care about alcohol anymore. What happened was I kind of embedded myself in a group collectively that had a certain belief about alcohol, that had a certain view of drinking, that ended up forming that desire in me, that ended up changing my opinion about it, and it affected me. How did I go from a senior in high school who couldn't have told you three fraternity names at the University of Alabama to then being able, at the end of freshman year, to tell you whether or not somebody was cool or whether or not that was a good girl based on their Greek house? That nothing changed about me. It was this institution that I attached myself to that was teaching me what's good, what's bad, what's right, what's wrong. And I had underestimated the power of this institution to shape me and to form me. And so y'all might be feeling the effects of that, even as if you're a freshman or especially if you're a junior or senior, how you might have changed as you've kind of attached yourself to this group. Next slide. Y'all remind me if I don't change the slide. Okay, this isn't working yet. Here we go. Okay, so my argument that I want to make now is basically, what sort of things do we long for that these institutions end up kind of leading us to desire, leading us to answers to the questions that we're asking? In other words, I think all of our Greek houses, I think all institutions really in the world are religious institutions, and they're trying to lead us to these ultimate questions, to answers to these ultimate questions that we're asking. So for instance, that's a big meta idea. For instance, our Greek houses answer this question of acceptance that we all have. We are created in sin with this question, how do I know that I matter? Since we have fallen from God, since we don't know our Creator, since we have rebelled against Him, we all have this sneaking suspicion that we don't matter. And we look to communities, we look to institutions to answer that question, how do I matter? Well, the Greek house says, you matter because of your resume, your social skills, your looks, your gifts, your personality traits, which appeals to our deep sense of guilt and shame, saying you're enough. And essentially, you're enough because you meet our qualifications. And so we get this outward affirmation from this institution that says, look, I matter. I'm accepted here. Next, initiation. Greek houses say that you belong on your ability to conform your life around the standards and go through the trials that qualify you. In sin, we're all asking this question, how do I change? How do I grow? And what the Greek house says is that do you want to fulfill that longing? You change, you grow by conforming to our standards, by going through the process of pledgeship, embodying the values, looking the part, talking the talk, dressing the way that we all dress, looking like us. And lastly, we are all born with this desire for purpose, mission. We all kind of want to know, like, what should I do with my life? That's a question that students ask me all the time. It's because detached from God in sin, we're kind of all longing for a purpose. We don't know what we were created for. And so the fraternity kind of shows us, the sorority kind of shows us, this institution gives us an answer to this. It says, you know what you're created for? Well, if you join our house, you're created to be the best. You're created to be the prettiest. You're created to be the smartest. You're created to be the wildest. You're created to be the most fun. You're created to be the life of the party. It tells you what your mission is. And so we follow it. We follow it because we're all looking for purpose. We all want to know why we're here. We want someone to tell us how we should direct our life. So next. Basically, this is me reiterating the same thing. But essentially what I want us to see is that these questions that we go to the Greek system, we go to our fraternities and sororities, asking are religious questions that we're hoping it can answer for us as our Redeemer. We want the Greek system to redeem us. So we want to be accepted. It shapes our view of who is in and who is out, who is cool and who is weird, who is successful, who is not. It gives us a lens to which we see who's in, and it includes us. Initiation, it shapes our view of how we find identity. It's through my accomplishments, successes, toughness, status, intellect that I get a sense of who I am. It shapes our mission. It shapes our view of where the good life is found. It's found in exclusivity, resume building, self-indulgence, sex partying, lack of vulnerability, image management, whatever. Okay, what's the problem with this? So my argument that I'm making to you is that we are all religious people, and these institutions that we attach ourselves to, the Greek system, give us answers to these ultimate longings that we have. That's why I ended up changing my entire personality by the end of freshman year, because I just wanted to be accepted. I wanted to be initiated. I wanted to find purpose. And because Christianity, or because my church group wasn't there anymore, I had to answer those questions somewhere else. In high school, I had the church group. In college, this fraternity was offering me the answers to all these questions. But the reason the Greek system can't offer you sufficient answers to these questions is because it offers you a false story of redemption, or a insufficient story of redemption. There's three things about this story of redemption that I think fall short. There's actually many more. But the Greek system is founded on lies about ourselves. What I mean by that is it says that you can work, you can resume build, or you can conform your way to acceptance. We'll get to how the Christian story talks about that in a second. Second, it's not available to everyone. The Greek system would be a poor redeemer because it excludes a lot of people. And if a redemption is not offered to everyone, then it's a bad redemption. So that's part of why it lives is short. And then lastly, it's temporary. I was thinking about this question, how to apply it. And all I could think about was, like, have y'all ever run into like a 55-year-old dude in the Grove that was maybe a part of your fraternity, or maybe a 55-year-old woman in the Grove that was part of your sorority back in the day? And like, they still want to know the drama of like what's going on in the house. And you're like, this person's just sad. Like, why do they care what's going on in a fraternity house? The reason they care is because they have attached their identity to it. And although it's temporary, and we can see that, it was only 4 years of their life, they expected it to be their redeemer. And so they're holding on. They're trying their best to keep finding salvation in this Greek house. And so what we need is we need a better story of redemption. We need a better story of redemption to take our longings to, instead of trying to make the Greek system our redeemer. All right, next. So what does the Christian story offer that our Greek house can't? So all Christians find their story in the story of King Jesus. What we have, what the Bible says is it's honest that all of us have these longings for acceptance, these longings for initiation, these longings for mission, and many more longings. And what the Christian story says is by virtue of Jesus' life and death, we have found the answer to all of those longings. So we don't have to look to these outside institutions to be more than they are. We can simply find all of our longings met in Jesus and then relate to our institutions appropriately as such. So this is what the Christian story looks like. This is what the Christian story is. It says that identity, who I am, says that through grace I've been saved, not through my works, through my accomplishments. I've been declared righteous. I've been saved based on what Jesus has done for me, and who I am is nothing that I have done. It's all received, which means my worst days can't take it away. The Christian story says that I'm created in the image of God, which is for community, but I shouldn't expect human community to be my salvation. Instead, I'm created for a community to image who God is in community. What does that mean? I'm created to serve and give to other people instead of expecting for them to give to me. So community is an opportunity for me to imitate Jesus by me giving myself away to them in love. And then formation, lastly, How do we learn this? How do we actually find how do we find security in this? How do we actually have this like embedded into our bones so that when we walk into the fraternity or sorority house, we don't immediately attach ourselves to that story of redemption? Well, it's through the church. It's through campus ministry. It's through God's people gathering together. The reason Wednesday nights at RUF exists, the reason small groups exist, the reason the local church exists is because we always need remembering and reminding and equipping in this story about who we are, where life is found, and how those institutions, those worldly things, can't give us what we long for. So this is the three things, how Jesus answers these three things that our fraternity is trying, our sorority is trying to answer. It says, by grace you have been saved. It's not about your resume or your gifts or your beauty. It's about what Jesus has done for you. Initiation, it's not through toughness and strength that you find your place. It's through weakness and vulnerability, repentance. And then purpose, we live not to prove ourselves, or pleasure ourselves, but out of the joy that Christ has supplied us. I'm going to land the plane here with some application. I think this radically changes how we then can walk into our sorority or fraternity house. Because if we realize that kind of that top triangle, the Christian story, is where all of our needs are supplied, then we can appropriately go into our Greek houses without expecting them to be more than they are. We can go and just enjoy the fellowship that we have. We can go and just enjoy the events that are going on. We can go and be frustrated when we really don't like this aspect of our house. We can go and like actually call people out when they're treating people poorly. We can go and not be afraid of being kicked out if we're the vulnerable one or if we're kind of the weak one. We can go and simply, like, we can go in security of who Jesus is and kind of just be differentiated from this institution while also enjoying it for what it is. So it's with this posture of confidence and security that we can engage with these worldly institutions without trying to make them our redeemers. Jesus says that we're supposed to be in the world, but not of it. And then how do we do that? What does that look like practically? It looks like being salt and light. Jesus, in his Sermon on the Mount, tells his people that you're the salt of the earth, which all that means is that salt is supposed to go out into the world and make all the good things about the world better. That's what salt does. Steak's already good in and of itself, but if steak doesn't have salt, it's not as good. You need salt to make things better, more tasty. Also, you need to be light of the world, Jesus says. So a light is something that exposes, something that reveals, something that reforms. And so we can kind of be appropriate lights, shining a light on how this Greek system really is a poor redeemer, even though there's good parts about it. So what does it look like to be salt and light? These are just a few of my examples. I actually want y'all to talk about this in your groups. So salt, celebrate and beautify what is good. Like, Christians can walk into a Greek house and say, look, our attitude about celebrating, our love of date parties or whatever, like, some of that is really good. Like, God loves to celebrate. The new heavens and the new earth, like, the Bible ends with a party. Eternity will start with a party. John chapter 2, Jesus, his first miracle on the scene is to keep the party going at a wedding. And so there is a good instinct about the fraternity or sorority about that, but the party in itself, the party as an end in itself is vanity. Meaning, if we just think we exist for self-indulgence or the party, then it's always going to kind of leave us empty. That's light. God loves beauty. He loves us kind of like being good and like being accomplished and, you know, kind of being beautiful, whatever. But surface level beauty as a means of hiding is a result of sin and leads to death. Beauty was never supposed to be a cover for what's inside. Beauty was always supposed to be an expression of what was already inside that beautiful heart that Jesus has made. God loves friendship. Fraternities and sororities are a great way to make friends. It's an amazing place. But friendship can be a powerful force for evil and darkness if it's used poorly. If, you know, like, people in community a community can always act worse than an individual if it's directed towards the wrong end. So exclusivity, lack of vulnerability, uniting around the things of this world, pride. God loves ambition. Greek houses are really ambitious. Service, grades, all that stuff, a lot of positions that people were pursuing. But ambition driven by insecurity, feeling like you have to be enough, will lead to futility, and it will lead you to oppress others, having to put others down to make yourselves feel better. Lastly, God loves service. Service for your own righteousness is ultimately self-serving. So he doesn't love service that's just trying to make ourselves look better. He loves service when it's done out of the abundance of how he has served us. Here are the final things on this sheet. I got these from my friend Stuart Swain at Alabama. And these are some axioms. All axioms are is just like true statements that are easy to remember that I think are really helpful about how it looks like to engage the Greek system out of the security that we have found in Jesus, where we can kind of go to that top triangle that we saw, how we can be confident. And so we're not looking for anything of our Greek system to meet those needs. We instead can enter our Greek system, not expecting them to meet those needs, but just appropriately enjoying and then exposing what's there. So first one, you don't have to play the game. I just think that's a liberating thing. If your salvation is not wrapped up in this institution, then that means you can kind of take or leave parts of this institution. You're more than your resume. So things like Rush and, you know, making cuts and kind of assessing people based on their beauty and value and worth, like, you don't have to let that train your brain to think that that is how God view you. God views you. You need other community. What that means is that to expect that God's people, to expect that only your fraternity or only your sorority sisters can fulfill kind of the ultimate community that we were made for is to kind of see that God made us actually to be in community of diversity with a lot more people. Power comes through vulnerability. The Greek system would say that is the opposite. Power comes through hiding. Power comes through strength. Power comes through strength. And what we see on the cross is that Jesus was the most powerful when he was being crucified. And so sharing our weakness, sharing our vulnerability is not a weakness, but a strength. And we need to find community that allows us to do that. Second to last, freedom comes through repentance. I found that out sophomore year of college where I felt trapped. I felt like I had to kind of play the game. And then finally, repentance freed me from having to play the game. And then lastly, this kingdom is temporary, which means we shouldn't put so much investment in it. We shouldn't attach so many longings to it. So